Now we're going to check in with the editorial board of the Arizona Republic. It's a regular segment in which we talk about the big issues facing the state and the region, featured in the newspaper's viewpoint section. Early voting starts this week, and we're less than a month away from Election Day itself. Over the weekend, the paper endorsed Governor Doug Ducey for re-election over his Democratic challenger, David Garcia. With me for his weekly appearance to talk about that is Phil Boas, editorial director of the Arizona Republic. And Phil, I guess start off, give me your elevator pitch for as to why you think Ducey is the better choice here.
Well, his reputation is that he's reactive, not proactive, that he waits until problems get big and doesn't get in front of them ahead of time. But he actually got in front of education. And one of the points that we make is that there would have been a logic to David Garcia's candidacy had Doug Ducey done nothing on education. But 2 years before we get to this election, he got in front of Proposition 123, championed that. And that put billions of dollars into the public schools. It actually resulted in about a 5% raise on average for Arizona teachers, not well known within the state. And he doesn't get a lot of credit for it because a lot of the left didn't like how 123 went down. But here's what you have to know about 123. 123 was supported by virtually all the leaders of all the public school organizations. So the public school vanguard was behind that, and they agreed with Ducey. That was a way to get billions of dollars into the schools 2 years ago when there was no politically feasible way to do that.
Now, 123 was essentially the resolution of a very long-running lawsuit about school funding, and even with that, teachers still felt the need to walk out of their classrooms earlier this year. And I wonder if that is sort of where the Democrats are coming from, saying, okay, maybe the governor was in front of this in terms of Prop 123, but it still maybe wasn't enough.
Right. And it wasn't enough. And that's legitimate criticism. And the governor would have done better to really push more and get more done on restoration funding, the money lost from the recession and the jobless recovery, money used to balance the budget in Arizona. So, I mean, there was a real logic to a David Garcia run. David Garcia is a career educator, works over at the School of Education over at ASU, and it made a lot of sense. Education was in the forefront. Red for Ed had just happened. You had the march on West Washington and the Capitol and everything else. But by then, it may have been too late for David Garcia, that Ducey had done enough to start to diffuse the education issue.
I'm wondering how much of your endorsement is about what the governor has done and sort of what he's stood for, and how much of it is sort of the campaign that David Garcia has run, because you referenced that in the endorsement.
Well, David Garcia, you have to remember that 4 years ago, he ran for the superintendent of public instruction. And he ran as a centrist, and he had Lisa Graham Keegan by his side and Jaime Malera, two well-known Republicans within the education community.
Former superintendents themselves.
Exactly. And he won Maricopa County. He barely lost the race, but he won Republican-rich Maricopa County, which is really an incredible achievement for a Democrat first time running. And so he created these bona fides that he was a centrist, okay? Then we come 4 years later to the Democratic primary for governor, and he runs far to the left. I mean, he's going and backing this idea that we need to replace ICE, okay, immigration and customs enforcement. And that was an idea that came out of the congressional race in Queens, New York. And it works beautifully there, where 75% of the electorate is Latino and Puerto Rican American. It's not going to work in Phoenix, Arizona. It was way too far to the left, and it opened the door for attacks that he has seen in the general election. He's been trying to repair that ever since.
You referenced education, and in the endorsement, you reference a few other issues that the governor has been dealing with. I'm wondering if there's maybe one other besides education, which has, of course, dominated this race as we all thought it would. Anything else that sort of in your mind puts Governor Ducey sort of at the top of the heap in terms of this particular race?
Well, the one that probably makes him unbeatable, and probably nobody could beat him because of it, not just David Garcia, but anybody the Democrats would have put up. And that is, you have a strong economy. The Arizona economy is back. It's booming. It's well ahead of the national economy on job growth. And remember that Ducey came in inheriting, $1 billion plus deficit. So, I mean, he took a state that was reeling, and he has helped turn it around. We've got a strong economy. economy. Now, Arizona reflects the national economy, but it's doing better than the national economy on the jobs front. So a governor is going to get credit for that, maybe too much, but they also get too much blame when it goes south. So that's how it works in politics.
I want to ask you about the concept of endorsements broadly, and I know that you've talked about this in the past. I'm wondering what role in 2018 a newspaper endorsement for any office, but in this case, the governor, really has on how people look at the race, maybe how people will vote?
It's a great question, and we're not sure of the answer, but we're getting at endorsements a lot differently than we used to. We will write as many as four different versions of an endorsement during election time. So we have one that we've written for a print audience. And this is a traditional print audience that has a strong knowledge of politics. We'll write for an online audience that is younger and maybe not as aware of how politics work. And it's more of an explainer, a primer of how this all comes together and why we're arguing in the way we do. We have synopses, these little thumbnail versions. And so we're approaching audience differently, whether they're in print or whether they're online. And the audience bifurcates online. We have different kinds of audience online that we're trying to address. So the game has changed in newspapers quite a bit.
All right. That's Phil Boas, editorial director of the Arizona Republic. Phil, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank you.